Welcome to Zero Rights Reserved, a weekly podcast about nouns, NFTs, DAOs, Ethereum, and more, brought to you by the Noun Square Media Collective. I'm your host, Tony Hawk. Today, we're extremely happy to be joined by Luca Netz, CEO of Pudgy Penguins, as well as Prof. Werder, aka the Nounish Professor. Luca and Prof, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I'm super stoked to be here.
When you were on our spaces last week, you talked a little bit about your upbringing and how it's affected your trajectory and your career. I'm wondering if you're comfortable talking about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. I was, at the time it felt normal, but I actually grew up homeless with my mom and my brother for about 10 years, bouncing around home to home, guest bedroom to guest bedroom. Now, I think it maybe sounds a little bit worse than sometimes it might have been. You know, some of these friends were really well off, and so there was moments where we would be, in the hood in Los Angeles, and then there would be other moments where we would be in a multi-million dollar home in the Hamptons. Growing up, I think that gave me the duality. I saw which life was not necessarily better, but my mom was freaking out all the time, every time that we would either get kicked out or have to move on to the next. And I could just see her consciousness be at peace when we were in a situation where we weren't struggling with money, versus when we were, you know, in a less fortunate situation. And so we did that for about 10 years. We settled down in Los Angeles. She finally was able to get a job. And so her thing is she's a European native. And so we lived in America, and she actually didn't have her paperwork, so she wasn't able to find any work. And so she was exchanging, cleaning homes and kind of taking care of kids in exchange for a place in that home. So about 10 different schools, 14 different places. What that taught me, I think, was the duality of life. I knew which one. I tasted both spectrums of the world, being really poor and also being pretty well off. And I knew which one I wanted. I knew which one, you know, made my mom happy, or at least alleviated a lot of stress and pressure. I think it also gave me a lot of insight into the different walks of life. I mean, I lived everywhere from, you know, Paris to London to the south of France to South Africa to, you know, the hoods in, you know, New York to the Hamptons to, Los Angeles, South Central to Miracle Mile. Like, it's just like a complete duality that I think not a lot of people have a lot of familiarity with. And my superpower actually is marketing. Like, if you were to ask me, like, what am I good at? I would tell you marketing is really my specialty personally. And I think when you look at the root of marketing, a lot of it is understanding people and understanding perspective. And I think I understand people and perspective pretty well because I was in all these different environments and all these different situations. And so I think a lot of who I am today is because of that. I'm really good under pressure, really good under stress. Probably comes from my upbringing. My mom used to freak out and have nervous breakdowns more often than she'd probably like to admit. And so I'm pretty stress adverse. I'm pretty good under, you know, really a lot of people I've noticed freak out when things get really bad. And I'll have moments where I freak out, but like I can consolidate within a couple minutes, which I think is a really good quality when you're trying to run a business, which, you know, anybody who's an entrepreneur knows, you know, building a business is really being a firefighter 50% of the time. A lot of people that I found, peers and colleagues that found that fold under pressure, you know, a lot of being an entrepreneur is just being able to survive and persevere and make it through the tough times. That's why I kind of tell people just to believe in yourself.
So it's funny you mentioned that. I had a business mentor who one time told me that people would often ask how he was still able to be in business after 50 plus years. And he would just answer, well, it's because I'm still here. And everybody else who tried to go into business over the last, you know, X amount of time just, you know, stopped being here. And now I'm still here. And that's why I'm successful. Very simple. And I found that to be the case in my own entrepreneurial journey as well. It's like, if you just keep on building and keep on, you know, trying to do something interesting, and your leaps and bounds ahead of your competition who are going to quit after, you know, the first hardship that comes their way.
Yeah, it's the name of the game is not giving up. I think I have some family members, even people who are really close to me, and I'm trying to just think, like, why am I where I am? And I, you know, because I'm so close to them, I can see what's going on and what's the problem. The common denominator with the people that are really close to me as to why they never made it is because they give up. They just stop. This is what it is. Like, it's not that they are not capable. It's not that they don't have the resources or the bandwidth or the brain power to achieve it or the ideas to do. They just, the moment they get into a roadblock, they might, you know, persevere across the first one, but the second or the third or the fourth one just leads them to quit. It sounds super corny, and we've probably heard it a million times. That's why I tell people, like, don't give up. Like, that's just really the common denominator is, like, do you have the strength to push through, or the determination or the willpower just to go through it? Because that's really it. I had a thing. I remember my first business that I started, the one that kind of changed my life, was a jewelry business selling jewelry online. And I had this thing, I'm like really tough on myself. So, and I've been able to manage it, and a lot of trauma from when I was younger. So I've been able to figure this out. So this might sound a little extreme, but it wasn't working. And I would just be so frustrated. I'd just grab my hair. I'd be like, dude. And I remember in the shower specifically, I was like, I cannot continue doing what I'm doing. I see other people, you know, making this work. And I remember crying in the shower. It was like a really deep moment. And I was like, I'm just going to give up. And then I was like, well, if I give up, where am I going to go? I'm just going to go back to work. And I was like, I can't keep working. I can't keep doing this 9 to 5. As cool as it was, I just was like, I was getting fried just because I knew there was no upside, and I just couldn't be stuck in the same spot. And I was just like, well, I have no other freaking choice. I got to make this work. And I got out of the shower. I wiped the tears off my face. I was just like, look, I've got no other option. And I just went and I kept going. I think a week or two later, I found product market fit. The person, you know, I found a marketing strategy, and, you know, that business basically made me a millionaire before I was 20 years old. And I, you know, I was 18 at the time when that happened. Like, that's just like a fascinating freaking story of like how you just got to freaking push through no matter how hard it gets.
Amazing. I'm glad you shared that, and you've described yourself as a serial entrepreneur in the past. I'm curious if you could just take us through a little bit your career and some of the highlights of some of the things you've done before Pudgy Penguins.
Yeah, of course. The first one was a jewelry business selling jewelry online. And so to give you some context, I kind of saw the opportunity with a growing hip hop genre. And I was like, well, how do kids want to look like their favorite hip hop artist? Well, through diamond chains and all of this stuff, but, you know, we can't afford $20,000 diamond chains. So what about ones that are gold plated or, you know, cubic zirconia diamonds? So, you know, these things are really high margin, low friction, low shipping. So it kind of hit all the ingredients for a good direct consumer brand, low returns, no sizing issues. And I found I was basically like one of the first influencer marketers, I think, on Instagram at the time. It was really untapped. And I would basically just have these guys that I felt like had similar audiences to these hip hop stars, just like push the crap out of these products. And so I'd reach out to these people, pay them $200 for a feed post. They'd make me like $5,000 back. There was one guy.
Did Farouk ever promote something for you?
No. But we Farouk and I have similar. It's very interesting because Farouk is actually more into the Instagram world than I think people know. Obviously, we know him from NFT.
That's where he started.
Yeah, he started from this. And so I just found this viral product that people wanted because hip hop was on this like parabolic trajectory at the time, still is, but like this was really the beginning of that curve. And, you know, within, you know, to the first 6 weeks, I couldn't find out how to sell it. I would get sales here and there. And then I found this influencer marketing strategy and I was like, oh, this is golden. Within 12 months, the business is doing, you know, $500,000, $750,000 a month. Just completely printing. And at 19, I ended up selling that business to my competitor for quite a bit of money, you know, in the millions of dollars. And so I then took the strategy, though, of monetizing social influence. And I realized, well, I made all of this money through the influencers. I didn't do it through paid marketing or traditional paid marketing like ads and stuff. So I knew the power of these influencers. One of the people that I was working with at the time that was making this business all of this money, I basically came to him and I said, hey, I want to make your merchandise and your brand. Let's sell similar products but branded towards you. Let's go 50-50 and let's make it happen. The day we launched that store, it does $100,000 in sales. Basically for 12 months, does about $50,000 a day in revenue. And I use him as an anchor to basically sign all of these other influencers and celebrities to basically do the same model. at one point I had like 100 live stores and, you know, websites running, selling products, leveraging the likeness of the influencer or the celebrity to move the inventory. And the business was a complete cash cow of a company, but I was actually not, the way that I had structured it, again, I was like pretty young and naive. I hadn't built it to yield any brand value, and thus it really didn't have any brand equity. When I went to private equity or potential buyers to go sell the business, they basically told me that I was a glorified manufacturer and babysitter. And though at the time it didn't feel like that, in hindsight, it's totally what I was. I basically was producing products, shipping them, and then depending on how I was able to convince the influencer to promote that week, that month, that year, it would completely fluctuate. Like one month we would make $10 million in revenue. The next month we would make $1 million. And it was really all dependent on if the influencer wanted to promote it or not. I think our best month was like $25 million across all stores. But it was really, there was no brand equity. None of those brands were able to stand alone or stand the test of time. They were really just like channels in which you can monetize followers, basically, through products. And so in hindsight, you see what Mr. Beast is doing and what all these guys, like, that's really where I was going. Like, I was going the Feastables route. I was going the Mr. Beast burger route. I was just so young and had no clue. And I kind of went to the first shiny object and thing that I knew how to do, rather than thinking like, how can I take it to the next level? Because again, I'm really a year into like being like pretty much broke to like life completely changed. I'm like, I was focused on cash flow and not building brand value. That ended up biting me in the foot because the business ended up doing like $200 million in revenue across all of the different stores. And $200 million in revenue in, you know, 3 years should yield me, you know, a $500 million exit somewhere, or a $400 million exit, especially with the growth pattern that we were on. And I had friends that had done, in the same time frame, $20, $30 million in revenue, and they were selling their businesses for $250, $300 million. And I was like, dude, I completely messed this whole thing up. Though it was a cash cow business and I made a ton of money and I was able, like, that was able to put my mom away and my family away, and like that was really like the next level for me. It was a mistake in hindsight. And then I completely shifted my narrative to like, hey, I don't care about cash flow. I don't care about making money every single month, which is kind of like this poor mindset that when you're so poor for so long, you're like, I just want money in my personal bank account month over month. Like, how much can I make and hoard to myself? Once I kind of matured outside of that, my only focus was building brand equity and brand value. And this kind of comes into my next chapter, which I then become the CMO of Von Dutch. So 2020, Von Dutch makes a crazy comeback. We won't go into the details, but when I came into that business, it was doing $20,000 a month. When I left, it was doing millions of dollars a month. And that really showed me how, what I had learned the years prior, that like I was actually, because prior to that, I thought I needed other people to make this. And then Von Dutch was like very, like one man army type of situation. When I did that, I was like, oh shit, I have way more power than I thought. Because if Von Dutch was my company, you know, Von Dutch went from being worth $5 million before me to hundreds of millions of dollars after me. Where they are today, I don't know. But that showed me how powerful I was, which led me into Gel Blaster. And then I copied the Von Dutch playbook in Gel Blaster. And I was like, oh shit, this really works. And then that gave me the confidence to buy Pudgy Penguins, because it kind of had the same ingredients of both Gel Blaster and Von Dutch, with like this crazy emerging market, which I believed was like the future of collectibles, being a collector and a hoarder of cool things. It seemed like a once in a lifetime opportunity. My gut told me, you have to do this. This is a risk. You're young enough to take this risk. Like, you haven't really taken any really monster risks before. Everything has kind of been programmed and manufactured to succeed. And then obviously you hear all of these people saying, you know, to make it in life, you got to take risks. So I was like, dude, I think this is the one. I believed in it since day one as a collector. Like, it won't go into that minutia. And then we buy Pudgy Penguins and now we're here.
Actually, that's exactly the kind of minutia I want to get into just for a minute, is what is your NFT journey? Like, how did you come into the cryptosphere? Because most of what we're hearing about in terms of your career is, you know, like you said, marketing and toys and retail to some extent, social media. How did you come into the NFT sphere, and which later allowed you to sort of marry that into Pudgy Penguins?
Yeah, so my first business was right during the 2016-2017 crypto super, you know, first bull run from like retail perspective. I became like a Litecoin litanaire. I basically put like $100,000 in a Litecoin. By the time the bull run was over, I was like, I had a couple $1 million, and then I held it all the way to the bottom, so it went kaput. So that taught me a lot of things. And then I started getting into mining. I started investing into, basically I was mining, like we set up our own rigs at my office at the time. We didn't pay for electricity. So I had this whole warehouse. Yeah, I had this whole warehouse in this back, and I had probably 24 1080 Ti's running and farming Digibyte, which like in hindsight was so stupid. I should have just mined Ethereum. But we were mining Digibyte, and then I had some ant miners at my friend's office. We were mining Bitcoin. And so between the GT 1080s and or the 1080 Ti's and the ant miners, I was like, okay, I believe in this. Like, I totally believe. But I learned my investment thesis has changed. In the beginning, my investment thesis for a very long time, up until like 2 years ago, I was very, I believed in things, but I didn't really size. Like, I was always like, yeah, I believe, like throw a little bit here. In reality, I should have went all in. Like, I wasn't really the all in type of guy until about 2 years ago. Now I really like put my money where my mouth is in terms of conviction. But I was mining, doing the whole spiel, collecting art and physical collectibles all the way up until then. And then the new bull run comes around, or starts to come around, 2020. I start checking out NFTs. I see this kid, Fuocious, who I really like loved his paintings. My friend had actually purchased one of his paintings a couple of years before. I was like, let me buy one of these. Very like dark and eerie. Like, I have a weird style when it comes to fine art. So it kind of like, it was like colorful but eerie at the same time. So it kind of fit what I wanted. Then I started going down the rabbit hole and Nifty Gateway, just collecting all of the new artists that they would promote at the, you know, the week, if you remember that. I don't know if they still do that anymore. And so then the PFP craze came around and OpenSea came around, and that's when things got really serious for me. My first PFP was actually a Pudgy Penguin. I thought that it was, you know, while making my investment thesis, I thought the most universal or understandable IP would probably have the most demand, because there's a finite resource on the NFT side in terms of supply. High demand, low supply, price appreciation, the math made sense. And I just love the Pudgy Penguin. Something in my gut told me that I like this character. I ended up buying a lot more than I kind of tell people, close to like 100 plus of them. And then that allowed me to rotate into like the apes and doodles and all of the other projects. Long story short, I turned like not a lot of money into millions of dollars. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the craziest thing ever. Of course this makes sense. Everything's firing on every cylinder. I'm CMO of Gel Blaster at the time. I'm like spending way more time trading on OpenSea. My friend starts a project, whole debacle, give him some advice, point him in the right direction. I'm like, how to do things. I try to buy the project from him, whole fight and argument. I'm like, okay, that's not going to work. 6 months later, you know, or 9 months later, NFTs are the talk of the town. Hype is still going in full force. I'm loving it. I have hundreds of these digital collectibles. I'm like, dude, I could never have this on my walls. Like, this is just like so badass. Everything I love about collecting, all of the pros, none of the cons. My Gel Blaster role, I was the CMO. Our business really just completely goes from D2C to like Walmart and Target. And if you understand what that means, you understand that so does my role as CMO kind of shift. I go from viral growth marketer to, you know, Walmart and Target, you know, marketer, right? So like, how do you do ESPN commercials? How do you do NASCAR sponsorships? Not really something that I'm passionate about, truthfully, or enjoy doing. And so I also knew, being a big equity holder in the business, that like probably not the most needed or experienced skill set. I did what I needed to do, which is create the hype and the buzz and the virality around the product. But now I need to go to a different journey, or there's potentially something new for me. I go to Sedona on a spiritual retreat. I'm leaving Sedona after 7 days of just like learning all about your chakras and the whole nine. We won't get into that. And I see somebody bidding on Pudgy Penguins. Within 15 minutes, I talk to a couple friends and I make a bid for 750 ETH. Within 4 days, the guy accepts the bid. And 2 months later, I own the project. And I stop everything I'm doing. I drop it all and I just go do this. And I'm like, okay, then huge shift. The story is way deeper and longer than that. And I won't bore you with it because it probably requires an hour or two to really flesh out how universally aligned and how weird certain things happen that actually put me in this position. But long story short, I think a higher power wants me to be leading the charge in this project. And here I am.
That's amazing. Wasn't it one of the first purchases of an NFT project as well? I don't remember hearing any other stories like that.
Yeah, there was like one or two before, like Ghosts, but this is like, I think, like easily kind of cascaded. You know, there hasn't been many since. I think On One is probably the most prevalent purchase since what I did, but there's some real
Yuga. I guess Yuga as well. I think you inspired Yuga. You must have inspired them to buy Punks.
No, that's it. That'd be great. Funny story, nobody knows this, but I almost bought Pudgy Penguins under the LLC Luga Labs, and I didn't do it.
Oh my God, that would have been hilarious. That would have been hilarious. I have a follow-up question real quick. So I wanted to just like step back for a second. You mentioned sort of all your D-Gen plays, and I heard an interesting story about your mutant. When you were minting some mutants and sort of what happened there in the middle of a business meeting. Do you want to share that? Because that to me is like the ultimate degen / true business person move, like combo. It's hilarious.
Well, this is actually an amazing story, so I'm glad that you asked. So Hasbro wants to acquire Gel Blaster. Right. So we're North America's fastest growing toy company, hottest toy, complete Nerf killer. Right. Like Nerf was always a disappointment. Gel Blaster is a way better product just for all ages. It's unrefutable if you played with one. And so their whole C-level team flies down. We're negotiating at the Capital Factory in Austin. We're doing like 2-3 days of negotiations. We come to a deal. And I'm with some of the people who are part of the company with me, Tori and Jesse. We're like all hanging out, doing our thing. We go to the house to like finalize deal terms, like very cool vibe. And Tori's on the couch. Again, this is like all C-level Hasbro team here, like lawyers fleshing it out, like pretty badass. And like, honestly, a moment I won't forget. And he nudges somebody. And then like, I'm like, what are they doing over there? Like they just start consolidating, like the young dudes in the group start consolidating in the corner. Crazy, because I'm like the NFT guy, and they're like, dude, mutants are, because it was a stealth mint, right? Like it wasn't like a hyped mint. He was like, dude, Yuga just dropped this, the mutant apes or the serums. I forget exactly what it was. And I was like, why? He's like, yeah, dude, I think I spent like, I had like 40 mutants at a time, so whatever that cost with gas, like 200 ETH, I go on my phone, I'm like, all the while these guys are here, but the story gets even crazier. So we buy all of them, whatever. And then the next day we go and, or maybe that night, might have been that night, we go and we all have sushi. And the whole, Colin, the CEO of Gel Blaster, I think was pissed. And so I got it, but we were so excited and it was like, the joy was genuine. The whole dinner was about these Bored Ape Mutant NFTs. Like, there was nothing else that mattered. Because the Hasbro guys couldn't believe that this group of kids just dropped $1 million minting these mutants. One between all of us was about $1 million. We were splitting them amongst ourselves, ripping them, mutating them. These guys were fascinated. They couldn't believe it. I was like, this is the future. I was like, nothing is getting crazier than this. And they were just trying to talk about like Gel Blaster NFTs. I was like, no, mutants, this is it. This is the one. This is where it's going. This is unequivocally it. And these guys' eyes are lighting up. They can't believe what's happening. I'm trying to get them to buy stuff. They're like, we don't have all this money. I'm like, come on. Long story short, we basically turned the later half of this Hasbro acquisition, which ended up not going through and not happening. Long, very long story there. But
it wasn't because of the mutants?
Yeah, all about mutants and the whole nine. And all I can say is if Hasbro knows about Yuga Labs, at least then it was because of us.
That's amazing. By the way, not financial advice to purchase 200 ETH worth of mutants on a hot wallet.
No, definitely not. Definitely not while you're at dinner having sushi. But I love that story because I think it really speaks to what I see as two sides of you, which is this incredible entrepreneur who, you know, can grow these amazing businesses, but also the NFT degen. And I think for a project like Pudgy Penguins, it's a perfect combo for someone to have. So I'd love for you to like dig in a little bit more to why was it important to you to buy Pudgy Penguins, and what was your initial thought of like what was the direction you wanted to take it, and how are you accomplishing that now?
Yeah, I think my initial vision for it had shifted. The best thing that I did in this acquisition was the first week I spent like maybe 30 hours with the community going back and forth on what their vision was. I actually was going to taper this down to like a Cocomelon. So this is very much not a Cocomelon. It's very much like the boy and girl version of Hello Kitty. I think Hello Kitty is like very girl oriented. This is like the unisex cool version of that. And it really tapers to all age ranges, if you ask me. Obviously, retailers will ask me for a target demo or certain partners. But if you're really asking me purely, like I think a 5-year-old can enjoy this, and I think a 35-year-old can enjoy it, or a 60-year-old. I really do. Like I to me, it's a very SpongeBob-esque type of IP, Phineas and Ferb. I think it just appeals to everybody if you can kind of tell the right story. I was tapering initially because I just saw Cocomelon was the talk of the town when I acquired Pudgy Penguins. I was like, these things are kind of creepy looking. Like, what if I just did Cocomelon, but like with Pudgy Penguins? This is like way better. The community stopped me in my tracks and was like, yo, dude, we are not the toddlers brand. And I was like, yes, thank you. You know, now we're like very much, we curate product. Like our products are really can vary to all age ranges, but we're definitely not the Cocomelon brand with like, you know, we had like nursery rhymes and things kind of figured out. So the community actually kind of helped shape this vision, right? Like this was not me coming in like a dictator saying, hey, this is my vision and what we're going to do here. I knew to win. Like this seemed very obvious to me, maybe because I was a Web3 native and I traded a bunch and I really understood this business. But this very much to me coming into this was going to be a collaborative process. This was not a dictatorship. This was very much a democracy. And we, you know, my job is to kind of extrapolate the best ideas. Like that was my mindset since day one. I don't even know how people could think this is any other way. Like if you,
well, it's interesting. It's a little bit interesting on that front with NFTs because your consumer is also your partner in a way, even though, you know, owning an NFT doesn't give you any sort of revenue share. It's not a share in the ownership of the company. At the same time, everybody who's in the community kind of feels like they own a piece of something, right? And if they're not happy, they'll sell and leave. So it's really an interesting dynamic to have to run a business where, you know, everybody's at all times thinking when moon or, you know, what's coming next for the community. And I've admired how you've navigated that with Pudgy.
Yeah, it's just strange to me. I think there's a lot of companies that are in Web3 and claim they're Web3 companies, but I actually think they're Web2 companies selling products on the blockchain. Like to me, just because you have products that are on the blockchain does not mean you're a Web3 business. I think what defines a Web3 business is how you interact with your community. And I think Web3 is an acronym in some shape, way, or form for collaboration and community collaboration, right? Like this is not, like it's just like, I don't know, this was just obvious to me since day one. I think to some it still isn't obvious, which is strange. But just because you have NFTs and you're utilizing the blockchain does not mean you're a Web3 business. I think Web3 is defined by the culture in which you run the business. Not in which, the, you know, just because you have things on the blockchain does not mean you're all of a sudden Web3. I think that's like a huge misconception, at least to my taking. So a lot of what we've built has been, hey, how do you leverage the hive mind that is the community? I try every 2 weeks to get on a call with the community for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and just feedback kind of things that we're doing. Obviously, there's a balance. You want to keep things fun and mysterious, and you don't want to give away too many of the ideas, but you also want to make sure you're not doing the wrong thing. So that's actually like a mastery that I'm, you know, I'm ever learning. I'm nowhere close to mastering that. So figuring out that balance, but I'm very much the muscle that is the hive mind, that is my mind, the team's mind, the community's mind. Like how do we extrapolate the best ideas and just make them work? It's kind of like our focus, but the brand definitely took a huge shift from maybe my first idea to what it is now. But now the North Star is super clear. Like I know exactly how I can make this one of the most beautiful businesses that the space has ever seen. I know exactly what that North Star looks like. I know exactly where I'm going and how I'm going to get there. All I need is just time and execution, a little hint of luck here and there, and we'll get there.
ZeroPod is produced by the Noun Square, a decentralized media collective funded by NounsDAO. In addition to generous funding from the DAO, we also rely on sponsorships from other values-aligned protocols and communities from around Web3. One such sponsor is OnChain Monkey. OnChain Monkey is a network of like-minded innovators, entrepreneurs, athletes, artists, philanthropists, and investors with a shared goal of generating wealth to empower the community to have a positive impact on the world. OnChain Monkey's Genesis Collection was the first on-chain 10K PFP to be launched in a single Ethereum transaction, and now the team are once again leading the charge for NFTs on Bitcoin with their recent groundbreaking Dimensions Collection. To find out more, head over to onchainmonkey.com. Let's talk about toys, if we can. You've had a couple really successful toy releases through Pudgy Penguins. This will lead into our discussion about Noun's Proposal 325. But tell us a little bit about the toys that you've made through Pudgy Penguins and how that process went and what the success was like.
Yeah, I think, you know, this was just, toys was solving a couple problems. One, the ability to, how Nouns would say it, proliferate and just spread the vision, right? Like, these things are too high price point. Even the cheapest NFT in our ecosystem is like $700. Like, I couldn't even have dreamed of to buy something for my birthday for $700 when I was a child, right? Like, our toys, our cheapest toy is like $5. And, you know, there's going to be a certain retailer that launches it and it's going to be even cheaper. Like, there's very few barriers to entry there. And I think, you know, what does it mean to build a global IP and a global brand? It means to have a product or a character that millions of people love and enjoy, right? Like, that's just like baseline, like what it, to me, is what it means. And so toys, I think, are a really easy first step in that direction. I think there's a certain cool factor and emotional attachment that's created between the holder and the holder of the NFT and the toys. Like, to me, like, when I was thinking about utility, and it's just my perspective, when I think about utility, utility is me walking down a retail store, looking to my right, seeing a product, and knowing that I own an NFT that is like the first edition of that product. And, you know, me owning this NFT, me supporting this NFT project, is creating products on shelf that is now making people smile all over the world. Like, if that's not utility, then nothing is, right? So it's one, a way to get new people in and get new people familiar with your character and to enjoy and love your brand. Two, it's a really great mechanism, I think, for the holder of the NFT to feel proud about something, to really champion against something. And three, you know, from a business perspective, it's a revenue model that's growable, scalable, and forecastable, which right now NFT royalties are not, and NFT mints are not. You know, I'm not in the business of minting more NFTs at the wazoo for
calling,
obvious reasons.
Calling NFT royalties non-forecastable is pretty bullish take.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not, right? And so step number one with being an entrepreneur is I have to be able to control my own destiny, right? Like, I have to know where I'm going, how I'm going. I've got to have financial projections for this year, next year, and how am I going to beat revenue? At the end of the day, I'm a businessman. Like, these things matter to me. Unfortunately, I'm not in a place where it's just like a hobby and a passion project. Like, I very much want to build the biggest business possible. And so from this perspective, sorry, my Roomba, let me just knock this thing down. It's freaking loud-ass Roomba. Sorry about that. This thing just has a mind of its own, just running around when I'm on a meeting. But
when Pudgy Roombas, that's what we need to know.
I saw a GIF with the Pudgy on a Roomba, like just yesterday. That's why I'm laughing. That's what I'm envisioning right now is the Pudgy on the Roomba.
We got a lot of gifts. We got about 3,500 of them, so we got a gift for pretty much everything. But, you know, long story short, the toys solve for those three problems, right? I can grow and forecast toy sales and projections, hustle harder, you know, do more deals. I love doing deals. It's my thing. So, you know, that's one. Two, emotional attachment, self-explanatory. And three, as long as we can distribute these in the right places, then I'm going to bring new people into my ecosystem. So that's kind of the purpose of toys. I think ultimately, you know, if we do it right and we scale it and we keep the integrity, obviously we have a really high integrity product, which is this like high-end collectible, which is where the Nouns proposal comes in. then I think ultimately you create a base and a fandom that's outside of NFTs and outside of Web3 that eventually comes and trickles in. You know, there's this narrative and this approach around NFT brands today that is very direct, and the consumer actually deflects direct impact. They want to be massaged into the ecosystem. They want to be eased in. They don't want to be forced in like brute force, which I think a lot of people are doing. And this is just my way of doing that. I think as time will tell over the years, as more bull markets and cycles come in and out, I think Pudgy Penguins is going to be the one that when that huge attention is on NFTs and Web3 again, that they're going to be the most familiar character, or one of the most familiar characters, or one of the most familiar brands, which I think ultimately is going to lead people to collect the NFTs and kind of, you know, start that cycle. And so that's kind of how we're looking at toys. Now, without doing a monologue, we have this high-end toy collectible, which is really for the collector. This product is more expensive, less mass market oriented, really positioned towards the connoisseur and the lover of the Pudgy Penguin brand. Maybe not the exploratory product. It's too high price point for necessarily that. But it's something that, to me, is the product I'm most proud about, because like such an emphasis on quality, such an emphasis on experience and user experience and customer experience, like everything about this, like I'm really, really proud about. And this is the product that I think is curated towards collectors and the people who really appreciate physical collectibles and really appreciate, you know, what it is to own a Cause or a Bear Brick. Like, it's very much in line with that, a Murakami, like it's very much in line with that audience and that consumer. And it's one that is super limited, has a crazy experience in the belly with an RFID chip, a claimable soul bound if you scan it. Box feels like an Apple box, super thoughtful through and through. And this is ultimately the type and style of product that we want to do for our Nouns X Pudgy Penguins collab, which is Prop 325.
Amazing. Before we dig right into 325 and then sort of wrap up and let you go about your day, I'd love to hear from Prof. Werder about how you met Luca. How did that connection happen?
Yeah, so I went to the Overpriced JPEGs happy hour, which Carly P. Riley has been doing throughout the U.S. and was at the very first one. And Luca was there. And I actually had walked up to this group after Julian Hoquin from Doodles was the speaker. And he was, and I was like, you know, we want to get some Nouns glasses on Doodles. And Luca was like, I want to talk to you because I'm wearing my glasses. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't even recognize him at first. He's very, very tall in person. Threw me off. So we got to talking, and I'm like, let's chat. And it took a little bit of time. That was back in March. And then he had a couple other experiences where he ran into Clem and got those lovely gold glasses. And so I think everything kind of just started to build. So by the time, you know, he's ready, I'm like, let's go, let's do it. And he came to me with this idea, and I'm like, he said, I have a genius idea. And I said, yeah, you do.
You know how they say brands, with brands, you need to have like five touch points before people recognize your brand. How many times does someone have to put noggles on your face before you make that connection?
I know, before you actually join. Yeah, I know. Right. Exactly. It was one of those, like, how many noggles can we get in front of Luca before he's like, yes. And I saw him again in New York at the soccer tournament, Web3 football. And I was like, Luca, I'm still waiting. Let's get this done. So we finally chatted.
I was playing for Nouns FC, and you guys did not take it easy on us.
No, you did not.
I'll be waiting for my apology for that. You really.
Oh, but we got our ass whooped every game, didn't we?
I don't think so. Yeah, you whooped our ass.
I think that was the one you won.
maybe that's why Nouns X Pudgy Penguins is such a good collab. We're like the bottom of the
I totally thought that whole thing was rigged. I was like, these guys are recruiting like ex fucking soccer players to be on the team. I was good at soccer. I was really rocking. Let's not talk about that.
I play soccer every week, and I was like, okay, we're going to go play soccer with a bunch of nerds. How hard could it be? It was hard.
Hard. When you bring in the Brazilians, it changes everything. Yeah. So we chatted, and I helped him write this up and, you know, gave him a little bit of a template and say, here's what we need to see from you. And then actually kind of talk him through the process of, like, here's what you do with a prop in Nouns, and here's how you go about it. And after all that, it's just been him. And I have to, you know, really stress it, like, this is his passion. He was, you know, very passionate about this. And I'd love for you, Luca, to talk about, like, why was it important? You could have just done this. And everyone has said that. And I even said that to you at first. I'm like, you could just slap some noggles on a penguin and we're not going to stop you at CC0. Why was it important for you to do it as a proposal to Nouns and sort of get that buy-in and that connection with the Nouns community for your prop?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Before we get started, a shout out to you, because I honestly, this thing's gonna get done if I don't have your help. It's like, I'm not the most technically bright, you know, deep person, and you just made it so easy. Like, actually, Prof, you made it incredibly easy for me. So I'm super thankful for you. You're getting one. You don't need to go on network and buy one. You're getting one sent directly to your door, even if it's my personal one. Doesn't matter. Huge thank you to you. Seriously, I think for me, I want to do something that the community wants. Like, I totally could have just thrown the gauntlet. I thought about it, but I was like, I want them to be excited about this. Like, I want to be in line. This is also the first of hopefully many initiatives. I want to blow this one out of the park, like a Babe Ruth home run. But I want to come back and I want to do bigger and better. To me, when I think Web3 brand, on the top of my head, I think Nouns and Pudgy Penguins, right? Like, you guys have personified what it is to, like, or completely executed on what it is to be, like, a decentralized, like, truly embodying what it means to be a centralized brand. And it's awesome to kind of watch the experiment shake out. It's honestly quite beautiful to watch. And I think, like, we are definitely a little more centralized, but, like, very much in the ethos of Web3. Like, everything that we do, we try to, like, incorporate Web3 in some sort of way. And I have such a grand vision for this, and dude, we could take over Fairfax and Melrose and like, you know, we could do carnivals. Like, my friends own the, you know, I come from the world of, like, my network owns, like, the biggest brands in the world. Like, I know all of these crazy activations that we could do. And I see some of the things that I've already seen Nouns do. I love the whole skate initiative. I have something in the pipeline for that as well. I don't want to get too forward thinking, because again, we got to tackle what's right in front of us, and we got to deliver and make sure that the Nouns are super stoked at what we've done. But to me, this is like a legacy relationship, I hope, right? Like I have every intention for this to be like something we do, like how North Face and Supreme collaborate once a year. I'd love to do that with Nouns. Like, how do we just keep upping the bar year after year and just do something more and more special? And just like, rather than just doing it myself, like, I wanted to do this with the support of the community. Like, I am not here. I didn't want to, like, LARP or just grift on the Noun glasses. Like, it just wouldn't sit right with me. Like, I'm going to do it if we all want to do it. And if we don't want to do it, I understand and I'm okay with that as well, right? But, like, I don't want to do something where it might come off as, like, oh, I'm extracting and trying to, like, leverage off of the Noun. And no, like, I want to do this and I want to grow together and I want to build together and I want to proliferate together. I don't want to, you know, just be that person that's just like trying to just throw a really great IP just because it's CC0 on something, though I totally could. And it's beautiful that I could do that. But I want to be in lockstep with the community to do really special things in the future. And I think having the respect of asking the community to do this, I thought was the best way.
I love that you went down that road and really wanted to get that buy-in from the community. I think it's it makes for a much more powerful statement, and I appreciate that. And I really feel like also it gives you this opportunity to connect with some folks that are within our ecosystem who may not have been familiar with your story, and that I think would be really good mentors and connections for you as you grow your business. So I think it's been a fabulous and very exciting prop. Like, it has lit a fire under some people. I've seen some people voting that I didn't know had Nouns. Like, they just all of a sudden popped out of nowhere because they saw penguins and it was like, oh, okay, now we got your attention.
Coming back to the prop, just wondering if you could do a quick like a cliff notes, like what's a 2-minute summary of the prop for someone who hasn't had a chance to read it?
Yeah. 2-minute summary of the prop is, we're proposing to make 1,000 collectibles, kind of like this shark collectible you see here. We'll collaborate with the design internally within the Nouns Discord, as well as the Pudgy Penguin Discord, to kind of just feedback to make the best product possible. Think a base penguin with the noggles, you know, offsetting colors. Definitely want to put some color theory and make it clever. Really awesome experience. Tap, I want it to tell a story. I want it to have all of the integrations that this one has integrated. I'm also talking to Climb about, you know, integrating some of the noggles that he's had. Like, how can we collaborate and, like, also kind of offer little goodies within the whole experience? One thing that's special that I think is going to make this one really unique is like a golden ticket model, if you're familiar with Willy Wonka. And so there might be room for even like cooler things. Like, is there a way to like throw a Bitcoin in one of these? Like, I'm still like ideating. Like, I just need to make sure like I don't look like a complete fool when people start checking my books. I did raise a round, so they're going to start checking my books. Dude, you lost $100,000 on this collab. I'm like, well, we got to proliferate, baby. But neither here nor there. What I know I will do, and this is the reason why we asked for the 10 ETH in the proposal, is I want to take 10 of the figures and I want to make real gold-plated noggles on them and then kind of just throw them in there as a surprise, where 10 out of the lucky 1,000 people who will order one will receive like what will essentially be like the grail of, you know, of this collectible series, which I think like just makes it really fun and adds a little bit of that mint factor. Like, why do people mint NFTs? So the chance they could pull a super rare, right? So it gives you that kind of edge. And to me, I think it's going to be one of the all-time great campaigns for a collectible. Like, I'm really going to go above and beyond here and really try to put this in as many cool places as possible and drive the hype. So this is like an amazing sellout. And so, long story short, that's kind of the proposal and why I think it's kind of leans into what we're doing best right now. To give you some context, our last couple collectibles sold out within 2 to 3 seconds on network. I want to do a similar drop there. Network has a lot of prestige, has a lot of really native collectors that are totally not into NFTs and Web3, but are the exact audience that would love this space. And so just really kind of just like invading their platform, making us and our IP and our character so undeniable that they, you know, start looking in this direction. I think it's the perfect place to onboard people into Web3.
You have the highest, the quickest drops, correct? Isn't that like a new record on network?
So far, we hold the record for the 2 fastest sellouts at that quantity at that price point on network so far. So I want to hold, I want to get the 10 fastest sellouts on network. This one would be, you know, if we can pull this off in under a minute, this will be an all-time great drop like that. And that will really make some noise. I don't know. I can't promise under a minute. I know they'll sell out like that. I unequivocally I'm completely confident in how quickly we sell them out is going to be a really fun experiment to watch kind of pan out.
Well, everybody loves the noggles. And I'd love to hear you talk about that for a second. What do you think the power is of the noggles as a symbol?
I think it's a great all-time great symbol. I think it has all of the ingredients to be that. As like you look at a Rolling Stone tongue, or you know, like I think it's the Rolling Stone tongue to me is like really where I see like this kind of falling that kind of category, like rock and roll, hip, like culture. This is there, right? Like this could be a Supreme Box logo, depending, you know, again, the right prop goes in with the right builder. I mean, could actually build something incredible from, we're already seeing it, right? Like, we're already seeing these guys and gals come in and building awesome shit. But this has the potential to be what, you know, the monogram is to Louis Vuitton, to what the Supreme Box logo is to Supreme, to what the Rolling Stone tongue is to Rolling Stone. Like, it has all of that ingredients. I think it's really just dependent on, can you make the right products and can the right builders come and build? And I think right now, Nouns is a great pool of builders. Hopefully we can add another one to the pool, which is myself. And I think with a collective effort, you know, money isn't the problem. There's plenty of money to go and fund these amazing projects. So you're not handicapped or restrained there, which is most great builders is constraints, right? So we're, you know, the Nouns community is blessed in that respect that's not a bottleneck. And so really it's just dependent on the builders and, you know, how we can delineate and pass props that make sense quick enough. And one of the favorite part about this collab is the fact that we're going to be buying a noun and that I'm going to be able to come in and start sharing my views and my opinions that might, you know, that's what I'm excited for, because I want to start participating. I think this this can go down as an all-time great experiment of all time.
Can you expound on that piece just a little bit about the part of the proposal where the one where the gang buys a noun?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, there's some money that's going to be made on this, and I think it's only fair and only right that if we ask for a little bit of money, that we bring some money back. And so the proposal is you know, Pudgy Penguins will buy a noun. Whatever that price is at the time, we are going to go to the auction and start placing our bids and start bidding. And really excited for that, because that's that kind of gets us in the ecosystem, that kind of brings the return on the prop back to you guys. So it's a net positive. Financially, at least, I think it's definitely a net positive, no matter how many ways you spin it. But from a financial perspective, it makes financial sense. So it's not a silly ask or proposal, and then I can come in there and start sharing my ideas, and we can start consolidating something even bigger and better for the next run.
I heard you might need some help from us at the Noun Square on our daily show to potentially mint you an igloo. Is that correct? That rumor?
Yeah, we gotta make ourselves.
We're gonna need an igloo, and we're gonna use Noun Scout. And actually, there was a suggestion that maybe we can get a penguin conservation charity added to Noun Scout, so that it would, when we request an igloo there, that it could go back to them. So,
By the way, one of the founders of Nouns mentioned in Seneca in his reason when he voted for. He commended you for you know, referencing Noun Scout, because that's a deep cut, as it were, in the DAO, and it showed that you really had done your due diligence and researched how the sausage is made, and so I think that was really appreciated that you understood like how nouns are even chosen. Like, Noun Scout's only 2 months old. And for anyone who doesn't know what Noun Scout is, it's an app that was funded and designed by 9999, one of the founders of Nouns, and it allows people to request certain traits within nouns, like to be minted as a noun of the day. And if one is minted, if the bounty is hit, then a charitable donation goes to the charity of your choice. And so we've been sort of collaborating with that on the Noun Square, checking it every day. And as we watch the end of the Nouns auction and sort of help to choose the next noun of the day, we take that into account and try to hit those bounties. So the fact that you mentioned that with regards to hitting the igloo was well appreciated, I think.
I'm excited to hit the igloo machine and make my I actually have the perfect penguin conservation group, Oceanides, that I'd love to add.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Well, we'll put
I'll
you in
grab
touch
that
the...
from you, and we'll get it added. We should probably get it added now. Why not? You know, maybe we can add a few things there.
Sounds good. Just high level, this prop is Prop 325, Nouns x Pudgy Penguins. It is currently sitting at the time of this filming, but won't be relevant by the time this podcast comes out. But it's currently 122-254, 2 days left in the voting. So looking pretty good. Love to see it.
What are the odds here? Just so you guys know, like, am I looking good, or am I like, can somebody like switch their votes?
Nobody can switch their votes. Once you vote, you vote. However, I will say we are at a period of all-time high voter participation right now in Nouns DAO, and you usually need like more than 170 votes for in order to make sure that this goes through. But I will say this, I'm feeling pretty good about this one passing.
I am feeling good too as well. I think that there was a couple others as well who have been voting no on everything who have voted yes on this. So it's been, so I think that bodes very well. Never know what's going to happen. There's no guarantees, but it is. I'm feeling very positive, so I think it's going to work out.
They like the pudgies. What can we say?
I mean, how can you not? How can you not? I mean, they're adorable. What are you going to do?
In closing, maybe we could just ask you. You've mentioned a couple times as you've spoken to us on Spaces, etc., that this is just sort of the tip of the iceberg, no pun intended, about what you'd like to do with Nouns. Do you have anything you can share with us about kind of your grand vision for Pudgy X Nouns?
The next one I want to do, I'm already kind of thinking about it. Like, I dreamt about it a couple nights ago. We'd have to be some sort of in real life experience. It would just have to be like something banging in like the most culturally relevant spot. I've got the I got the guys who, I got the old Supreme store on Fairfax. Like, is there just something like so crazy that we can do for a month? Like, just like.
There is a cruise. There is a cruise line that goes through the Arctic Circle.
Ooh, that's pretty. So I had a couple ideas. I have Pudgy Camp and Pudgy Cruise that I'm thinking about. Maybe there's like intertwined. I'm just thinking from like culture, like Nouns needs these glasses on the block of Fairfax. That is really important. Regardless if for some reason they vote no and like my dreams are killed, I'll probably be upset for a couple of months. But somebody needs to go and throw these noggles on Fairfax just because of how important Fairfax is to, I think, something like this. There's my opinion. This is somebody who grew up on the block. We call it the block, so excuse me. But like these need to be on the block. Like that is unequivocal. So like, how can you give the biggest line the block's ever seen, which is like a tough task because the block has had some pretty crazy lines. And like, or I had this idea. There's like a festival idea I have. I used to throw underground rap shows. I actually didn't tell you that in my whole story, but like that was like a huge part of my whole spiel. Like, I'm really close to the Rolling Loud guys. Like, do you rent out the Forum? I don't know, but it's gotta be a moment. It's gotta be like all the cool people in the world. Like specifically, I think it's gotta be done. I think I'm gonna do something in LA because that's just where culture permeates. Like you make it a thing in LA, it'll go across the globe. Just my take that I've kind of observed over the years. You just gotta just completely own that city. And so how you would do that, you know, there's a lot of thinking and critical thinking is gonna do. Depending on what I think about, that might have to be like a third proposal. I might have to go like second because like that's going to require like big budgets from both sides. So we might do like maybe one other. Maybe we'll do like a third party collab. Maybe we get like Pudgy Penguins, North Face Nouns for the second one. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Just do something absolutely bonkers on like a product and like put the nail in the coffin on the product. But for sure by the third one, you've got to do something experiential and like monumental that's like earth shattering. I think is like the third one. So we'll see.
So this is what's most exciting about having Luca come in with this first prop is knowing how his brain works and knowing that like there's a ton more ideas that can come next. So this to me is what, you know, we have so many amazing builders in this space in the ecosystem and entrepreneurs, and like just having your energy, it's going to ignite other people to come up with their own idea. And it's just, I feel like it's just going to be this thing that rolls and helps us really, really blow up. So I'm really excited about it.
Awesome. I totally agree.
Amazing. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us, Luca. I have a good feeling about it. I think by the time this podcast goes live, we'll have some good news, I hope.
Let's ride.
Let's go.
That's all we need. The shout out for Tree Show, Nouns 40. These are just people off the top of my head, but honestly, shout out anybody who's voted. I'm super grateful and appreciative.
Amazing. All right. Have a good rest of the day. We'll talk to you
soon.
Thanks,
Luca.
Thanks, Luca. Thanks, Prop.